You find that
peace and tranquility that Daniel spoke to Nebuchadnezzar of. That the continuing of your peace and tranquility may be, Nebuchadnezzar. He said, do the things that God tells you as I advise you as his minister. But for a while he didn't, and he run into problems. The Bible said if you would see long life and good days, refrain your tongue from speaking evil and that it speak no guile. For I would that you would do the things that I tell you to do. He said that it might be well with you and with your children all the days of your life. And God wants to fulfill the number of your years. He promised you 70, and he wants to fulfill every day of it. And the Bible said, and some shall live longer by reason of strength. But we have to do the things that please him and have faith in God to give him opportunity. The Bible said, the wicked shall not live their days half out. All right, let's turn over to the book of Romans chapter 13. You are my children. I love you as a father in the gospel. Paul said, I've begotten you in the gospel. And though you have 10,000 instructors, he said, you have but one father in the gospel. And I'm jealous over you, he said, with a godly jealousy. For I seek to present you to God without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. For I do have to present you to God. Every shepherd has to present his sheep. And you might say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not counting on you to present me. Well, that could be because perhaps you're not my sheep. But you will be presented. Someone will present you. They will be there in that day to present you. So you that are my sheep, you hear my voice because you do the things that I ask you to do. And Jesus said, how can you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Is it not true that wherever there is, as to even an earthly Lord, that you do the things that he says? But anyway, I, as Paul said, I've espoused to you, even to one husband. And I seek to present you to that one husband as a chaste virgin, that in that day you may rejoice and be glad that ye have neither spot nor blemish, so as to be the bride of the great king. Oh, how you long to be the bride. How I long to be the bride. How I'd love to be one with my heavenly Father, one with my Savior Jesus. I long to do that. Paul said, I do not say that I have obtained unto as to having apprehended, but this I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I press forward to the prize and the mark of that high calling in Christ Jesus. So then, I'm trying to do that, forgetting those things that are behind. All of those things that are behind, Paul said, is nothing to me. And when you speak of those things that are behind, you are speaking of Calvary. When you say, get thee behind me, Satan. And all of that which Calvary has done away with, even this present world, this present body, this present state of mind, the present things that you have in this world as to natural, tangible substance, all of that is behind you when you become a Christian. Because you're no longer a natural person, but you are a quickening spirit, and you're affection is now placed on things that are in heaven, and your conversation is no longer in the earth. It is in heaven, and your endeavors are toward those things, and you don't have time for earthly things. No, not anything, as the Bible said, not even time to go bury your dead father. The Bible said as to the man when he requested to bury his dead father, said, let the dead bury the dead. See, you don't have time to do that. He said, you follow me. You follow me. That's why I say so often that people who go to visit their fathers and mothers and relatives with such a regularity, and especially to stay out of church, have never been born again. I was speaking to my wife the other day about some here at Bethlehem, and she marveled at it as the way they do. I said, well, they're just not born again, Betty. I said, we just have to love them, help them go on, but they're not born again. I said, they still got their mind on the flesh and on the things of the world. You have to come to the place to where you can't go bury your dead father to the extent that you don't want to. You'd rather follow Jesus. And to the extent that you'd rather take your son and lay him on the altar and drive a knife through his heart before you would betray or fail to obey the commission of the great God, even as Abraham of old, who was called the friend of God. The angel barely stopped him in time as the knife came flashing down for the heart to prove his loyalty to God. So then, if you're born again, you might be a babe and struggling and going along and you need help, and many of these things may take your way of life. But as you grow older, you'll find out that if you really got God, you'll get away from all those things. And besides that, as I said to a man that was an outstanding hunter, always defending hunting, wanting to go hunting no matter what I told him, I say this to you, as I said to him, I said, well, keep on hunting. Hunt all you want to. He was young, strong, and healthy. I said, hunt all you want to. So he was going to keep on hunting. I said, no, you're not going to keep on hunting. I said, someday you'll be so old you can't get through the woods if you live. If you don't, you'll die and leave off with your hunting. I said, but you know the sad part about it? I said, you're going to stop hunting. No problem with that. I said, but the sad thing is you'll never have a chance to give it up for God. I said, it'll be taken away from you. I said, right now you have a chance to lay it aside and give it up for God. That is the same way with your life, friend. You may protect your life. You may do everything to hold on to it, but you'll give it up. It'll be gone. You know, you'll give it up. The Bible said, he that seeketh to save his life shall lose it. But he that's willing to lay down his life and lose his life for my sake shall save it, and that unto eternal life. So then, to set your affection on things above, this is what we're trying to do. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. See, because you're going to leave this body and it's going to leave you. There'll be no redemption, there'll be no return of it, no refurbishing of life if it hasn't been surrendered and given to God. All right, that sounds kind of straight and strong, don't it? Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you mean you preach that a man can't go see his mother and daddy? I certainly do not. Go see your mother and daddy, go see your brothers and sisters. You do whatever. You go on back there and be with them like Orpha did. But you that want to be like Ruth, that went her way, she never looked back. As it was, Rebecca, as with Isaac, she never looked back. That's for Ruth. And she said, as to Naomi, when she told her to go back, she refused to do it. Orpha wept. She cried. She'd done all kinds of things. But she looked back into Egypt and she turned back into her homeland and she went back to her family, back to her kindred. I'm speaking spiritually as to get thee out of the land of the kindred, Abraham, even that which is flesh. Come into the land I've showed you, that is to say a spiritual land, is to Canaan. But anyway, Ruth, when Naomi said, go back, I have nothing to offer you, she said, nay, your family shall be my family, she said. She said, I'll dwell where you dwell, and your loved ones shall be my loved ones, and your family shall be my family. And where you live, I'll live, and where you die, I'll die. And so she went with them, and she became the exceeding great and mighty princess, as it would be in that day, as to the Boaz, which was the great, mighty, rich man. With all of her wealth and power, and not only that, but she also became a woman in the royal family, or of the royal family through which David of old came and which Jesus came. She was one of the royal family, though she was a Moabite, as we say, or she was down there in the land of the heathens. But God made her one with her husband, and she was no longer as to the heathenistic one. But as it shows to you and I, though we were born in sin, because we love the great Boaz of God and was willing to forsake our kindred as to the flesh and those of the land of our kindred, we have now become a kinsman as to him being our kinsman redeemer and redeeming us. And now his family is our family and his wealth is our wealth. His priesthood is our priesthood, and His kingship is our kingship. And we are with Him, and where He lived, we'll live. And where He died, we've already done that, and we'll never die again. For we are alive forevermore. So He was willing to do that. Again I say, then should you never visit your mother and dad. There's times when you should visit your mother and dad. There's times when you should visit your sister and your brother. There's times when you should help them and strengthen them. But there is no time when you should have your mind on your mother and daddy and brothers and sisters and the land of your kindred, not even this world, as to the sense that you're kin to the flesh, but that you should be dead to the flesh, dead to the world. The Bible said that you should reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the world, unto the body, to the things of the flesh, to the carnal mind, to your kindred, all these kind of things. You should be dead to those things by the body of Jesus Christ. Having been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, and it's not you now living, but Christ living within you. And the life you now live, you live as to the life of the Son of God within you, which is eternal life. So I tell you that if you go after the things of the world and the wealth of the world, and you go after your kindred, you look back into Egypt to go back into Egypt, then you are not born again. The Bible said, with many of them that come out of Egypt, as to even those as of our day that repented of their sins, God was not well pleased with many of them, for they looked back into Egypt, or they turned back into Egypt in their hearts. So then you that still have your minds on the flesh and your desires on the flesh, and you keep looking at the things of the world as to find the things of the world and desire the things of the world, you've never been born again. You that are resentful, you that are haughty, you that are jealous, you that are rebellious, the Bible said to be stubborn and to rebel against the leadership of God and not to submit wholly unto Christ Jesus is as the sin of witchcraft and as the sin of idolatry. And you that want careers out of life and prestige, positions, and are looking for retirement and all this kind of thing, you're still in the same gall of bitterness and bond of iniquity as to the bonds child, which ye are. You are bound by your intellectual reasoning as to a human mind, as to those things that pertain unto the flesh, and that Satan savors the things that be of the world, even the convenience of life and those kind of things. But He said, come out from the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. And then you'll not be robbed of anything, as I say to you so many times. He'll give you money. He maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow, as He did Ruth. He'll give you prestige. He'll give you wealth. He'll give you all the things that heart could wish for. Everything. He beautifies the meek with salvation. He'll give you strength. Let the weak say that I'm strong. Be strong in the power of my might. He'll give you your loved ones. He'll preserve everything to your cause, and you'll not be lacking. For the Bible said, and he that walketh upright before God, should he delight himself in the Lord, he'd lack no good thing. I'd make him to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed him with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing will make him rich and add no sorrow. I'll give him the desires of his heart, and he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves will not wither. The Bible said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. To confess your sins and forsake your sins is to prosper. To keep your sins and not confess your sins and not forsake your sin, the Bible said, there's nothing that you do will prosper. Should you make it well in this world, and should you find a reasonable status of life in this world, he said, I'll still pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. And beware you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, because I am angry with you every day. And I'll smite the work of your hands. And if you make much and you bring it home, I'll blow on it till it comes to little. That is, I'll take your health from you, and you'll have your wealth in misery. Or I'll take your wealth and you will live in misery. Or he said, I will cut you off in the midst of your days, and you shall be a fool, he said. So there's no chance without Jesus. Everything to gain with Jesus, nothing to gain without Jesus. For as I've said, he's our creator. He hath made us. He hath made us for his own glory. He is our heavenly Father. We are his children, and children, heirs, and partakers of the wonderful glories of God, eternal glories of God. And we are his children, And since he made us and made the earth for us and made all things for us as it was with Adam and Eve, he is against death, he is against sickness, he is against sorrow, he is against poverty, he is against heartaches, and he is against sin and rebellion, because all of these things as to the lustful thoughts of the mind, the passions, lust of the eyes, these are the things that breed and gender sin and death. And he is against these things, and in that he's against them, he hath done away with all of them by Calvary, saying to you that if you're honest-hearted and if you'll make an effort to stay away from them and to conform to his way and not do those things, then he'll justify you not by your efforts as to staying away from them, but by faith in his righteousness. He will save you and justify you and meet all of your needs to where you don't have to work nor struggle to have eternal life. For the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, and blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, his iniquities are covered, that is by the blood, and blessed is the man, the Bible said, to whom God imputeth righteousness by faith without works. Alright, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin unto. Let's read chapter 13. I say all these little things ahead sometimes just while I'm talking to you. Oh, as we say, before I start hollering at you, lifting up my voice like a trumpet sometimes. Chapter 13, the book of Romans, let every soul be subject, or subject themselves unto, that is. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. All right, so then we're told that we should not make any provisions for the flesh, and that doing these things, we're doing it to fulfill our desire, as the rendering of the word lust being desire, as to fulfill the desire of the flesh, or the Bible said as to the lust thereof. The Bible says to let your moderation be known in all things, whether it be moderate as to moderation of dressing, moderate as to traveling, moderate as to eating and drinking, moderate as to sleep, moderate as to conversation, whatever it might be, let your moderation be in that. Don't let your heart be overcharged with the things of this life. as to wanting the natural things, walking in wantingness, and not to be striving one with another. And as the Bible has told us here, that we should be subject to the ministry as to the Word of God, seeing that these are the ministers and God has sent them in the world not as to naught, but He has sent them in the world for a purpose. He has put them in the world to praise You, to love You, to guide You, to father You, to lead You. And when they're speaking, it's not them speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within them when they're a real minister. In the concerning love for You, the hireling fleeth. But the Bible said that the good shepherd remaineth and he giveth his life for the sheep. No matter what the crisis, he remains until the storm is over. And he knows he has to give an account to God for every sheep that perishes, everyone that's lost of the flock. He's got to stand before God, and God will say, what was the cause of the departure of this person from church? What was the loss of this sheep? Why was it like that? And I say, Lord, I did my best. Then he will know. Otherwise, he will charge me with the lost. As Jacob said, Laban charged him with the loss of every cattle, every sheep. Or I would say, Lord, I did my best, but I had a brother who would not listen to me. He would go out and fellowship these people that were in error and bring them back in and cause them to deceive others, not withdrawing from brethren that walked disorderly. And he caused me problems. And others, Lord, they gossip and they were backbiters and they led men astray after them, or women that were in conditions of lust that would not do right, Father, and they did these things as to men and women going contrary to the things that I told them and would not listen to me. See, whatever it is, you can be sure there'll be plenty of time in that day for us to give an account to God for everything, and every person will be there. And the Bible said the very secrets of your heart will be made manifest. All that you've ever thought in your lifetime, or all that you've ever done, all that you've ever said about the minister out of his presence, about the people out of their presence, or about your loved ones or your neighbor out of their presence. And the Bible said, God in that day shall judge the secrets of men's heart by my gospel as to this word of God that I preach. And it tells us that we should seek favor with God and with the ministry. Not as favor with the ministry as to the human part, but as to God, to follow me as I follow Christ. And the Bible said, subject your soul unto him, for he watcheth for your soul as one that must give an account to God. And I know there's a lot of ministers that don't watch for your soul. There's a lot of people that don't watch for your soul. I understand that, because they're not soul conscious. We call Bethlehem the home of the soul. But a lot of people are not soul conscious. They could care less about your soul. They're not going to give of their time. They're not going to give of their substance. They're not going to give of their submission. They're not going to do anything as pertaining to your soul, because they could care less for your soul. David said, I looked on the right and I looked on the left and I could find no man that careth for my soul. So then God careth for your soul. And God liveth on the inside of us. And God is seeking to save you. You have not sought God. Men have not sought after God. He said, you've not sought me. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. If men could seek God, then all the world could come to God. And they could follow after God. And God would be obligated to save them. Even as it was with Esau, which sought repentance with bitter tears and found none, in that the birthright was already gone. Like Judas, in that after that he had betrayed the Lord, he went out and hanged himself because there was no place of repentance. So then the whole world would have to come as to repentance, and through these things they would have to come and have salvation. But see, they don't seek God, neither do they come to God, neither is salvation given unto them through repentance. The gifts and callings of God is by foreknowledge. It's without repentance. For many people repent, but do not get salvation. You know, the Bible even speaks of repentance as being an habitual thing, where Paul said, don't repent over and over, and lay a foundation of repent. repentance over and over, as just being sorrowful and knowing better, knowing that you shouldn't do these things that are wrong and still not putting up any effort, just going on to satisfy the greed and lust of your flesh, not wrestling against it or seeking strength to prevail against the powers of Lucifer that's defiling that body. Then doing those things as to a satisfaction, and then when you get weary and worn down and afraid, running back to God and asking God to forgive you. He said, don't do that. See, God don't give salvation through repentance, but it's by foreknowledge. You're elect according to God's foreknowledge. He hath given this to you by foreknowledge. Paul preached to the people, and the Bible said, and they rebelled against him. Said, but those that were ordained unto eternal life, they believed. The rest of them would not believe. And Paul shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own head. I go to the Gentiles. So see, I said all that to say this. You didn't seek God. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to seek the world. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is to say, as to the foreknowledge of God and in Christ, this thing was given to us before the world ever was, and it was lost through Adam and Eve as through the fall. And because you are God's children and because you are God's elect, God has sent his own son into the world to save you, not to condemn the world, for the world was condemned already, but that through the love of God that you might be saved. And he sent his son into the world to save you, that he may seek and save you while you're yet in your sins. And the Bible said he so loved you that he gave his only begotten son to die for you that could believe. To die for you that you might be saved. And he did this while you were yet in your sins. He came to you while you were yet in your sins as to salvation. Oh, that is, saved you, as the prophet said, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, he called me and ordained that I should be a prophet. And it was said of Judas, before he was ever born into the world, that another his bishopric take. He was predestinated to hell. And the Bible says concerning him, even when the Lord chose him as a disciple, I've chosen 12 and one of you is a devil. He was a devil by prophecy. He was a devil by foreknowledge. People that come to this church at Bethlehem, there's some of them that come that are devils by foreknowledge. They'll never be saved. They hear the word of God, but they're not that which was lost as to that which was to be saved. Because they're of this world, and this world belongs to them, and they're not lost off from God, in that this is their world. And Jesus said unto them, you are the children of the devil, and you are that belongs to the wicked one. Wherefore did Cain slay Abel? Because his deeds were wicked, and he was of that evil one who was a liar from the beginning. And so then they are of the evil one. See, they are children of the devil. They're predestinated unto hell. And by foreknowledge, their names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life as to salvation and whatever. But your names have been written in the Lamb's book of life even before you was born into the world. And Paul, even during the lifetime of some of his followers, he said, and greet these following. And he said, salute these that are in this house or this in this house. He said, whose names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. He already knew that their names were in the Lamb's book of life. So then somebody said, but you couldn't say that, Brother Pike, like Paul did. Got the same God. I can look out there and say to every one of you that's truly been born again, your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. It was already in the Lamb's book of life, and the Bible said, he that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of the Lamb's book of life. It is in the Lamb's book of life, and the Bible teaches that when Lucifer comes as to the beast, the tribulation period, that all of the world shall wonder after the beast, except those whose names are written down in the Lamb's book of life, even from the foundation of the world. So then we see that God is seeking to save that which is lost. Jesus came to find those that were his children, and those that were lost, when they heard, then they come. So then we find that there is a minister, and God is seeking and saving, and all the world he's searching. I will make you fishers of men. We do not have time for the things of this world. And everything that we do in this world takes away from our reward in that world. You say, well, Brother Pike, I like to do this, and I like to do that. I like to go to Six Flags, or I like to go down to the beach, or I'd like to have a little business on the side, or I'd like to be in a little prestige, you know, or I'd like to fish, I'd like to hunt, I'd like to make money. Whatever, God will let you do those things. And perhaps some of you may be saved as if by fire. One trial right after another, one heartache right after another, one problem right after another, not really bringing any fruit to perfection as to do what God wanted you to do, as to be seeking to save souls or fasting and praying and going after souls, but spending your time in the lethargy and the satisfaction of what your human intelligence tells you to do as to the satisfying of the flesh, as to your natural mind. See, to differentiate between the things as to what is a spiritual thought of God that he would have you to do and a natural thought as to what Satan would want you to do as to the satisfying of the flesh. See, whatever these things might be, going back into the land of your kindred as to the fleshly way of life, for the flesh is your kindred if you're of the kindred, for out of that kindred you came. So then, as Abraham, the friend of God, so journeyed in a strange land, dwelling in tents with his little family, as to whatever it was, and he did not go back into that land. And the Bible said concerning these that love the Lord, as strangers they're seeking a city whose foundation God hath laid, whose builder and maker is God. Jesus, being God, laid the foundations as to the 12 apostolic leaders of the great city, New Jerusalem. And it's the only city that hath foundations. And in that day, the Bible said, and their names are found in the foundations of that city. For that city shall never perish, for it hath foundations. And Abraham sought that city whose builder and maker is God. Even as today, God within me is building that city. As Paul, the wise master builder, and so it is with us, getting lively stones one upon another, binding them together by the mortar that's called charity, in that people have built up a house as unto God. And God said, what house shall you build me, seeing that I'm greater than the heavens and I'm greater than the earth? What house shall you build for me, and that God is a spirit and he filleth all in all? But nevertheless, God dwelleth in you as the lively stones, and you're God's house and you're God's temple, and God dwelleth within you as to whatever measure you receive him on. So then we are the builders that are building stones upon the foundations of the 12 apostolic leaders. For the Bible said, other foundations can no man lay, except these that Jesus chose as the foundations. And let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For the day is coming, shall try his work, and if his work survive, then he hath a reward of God. But if his works perish, then though he be saved himself, yet all of his works is perished, and he brought no fruit unto repentance. And thus we suffer the loss, when the Bible has told us to go on to a full reward, to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. All right, so then we see that this building, this great city, it hath foundation. The world doesn't have any foundation. They found it's just a little ball floating around in space, out in the great vast beyond, to where science cannot find the walls. They cannot find the depths as to the bottom of the heights. They cannot find as to this way or that way, when it said to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. They cannot measure the length, nor the width, nor the heights, nor the depths. They don't know what's out there. They can't find no boundaries. It is a vast emptiness that they cannot find any walls to. They know that in that vast emptiness, that there is in that great place out there billions, not hundreds and millions, but billions as to galaxies and whatever out there. We see our galaxy, and our galaxy has billions within it. But then there are other galaxies and other galaxies and other galaxies. And we're just one tiny little old bitty thing as an earth floating around. And on this little old tiny ball, there's a little old tiny man that gets a brainstorm as a professor or like a computer out of control and gets his wild imagination that he's some great something, you know, when he's not an equal to a pea in a pod. So then when we see this thing, we know what the songwriter meant when he said, "How great thou art. Oh my God, how great thou art." So then we find that this great God has sent unto you a ministry. And this ministry appears before you to bring God to you in a human form, to bring God to you in a personification as to whatever measure God would invest in that particular individual. And that individual or those individuals that are in the ministry, they have as to the measure of the mind of Christ, as to whatever he hath invested in them, there is a measure. As a general, as a captain, as a colonel, as a corporal, as a private, as just a rookie, as we say, in the army, so are we in the army of God. And we endure hardness like a good soldier. We keep our ranks. We obey command. We follow through and God advances us. And when we try to break rank, or when we try to get out of order, then God casts us aside. We're like a branch. Everything that we do withers up, and then we wither up and we're gone, because we refuse to abide within the vine. So then the Bible teaches when God brings Zion again, they'll not break ranks. So then we find that God has the ministry, and he hath put his life and love as to whatever measure, as to the ministry in whatever place, that he might reach the people, and that it might not be the minister speaking, but that it might be God, because he knows that you are natural people with natural eyes and natural ears, and that you cannot see a spirit. And should a spirit just come and speak to you and you're out in the world and you knew that thing was speaking to you, you'd run to a psychiatrist or somebody and you'd say, "I'm having weird thoughts, you know, and I'm out of my mind and I'm losing my mind," and you'd wind up in an insane asylum. Like Job said, "And something passed before me as a spiritual thing and the hair stood up on my arms," he said, "or on my body." So, like a little brother the other day, he received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, had his sleeves rolled up, and with this, the day following or day or two following, talking to him about God, looked, and all over his arms was what we call goose pimples. The hair began to stand up on his arms. For the Bible said, "If the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall also by this Spirit quicken your mortal body." You could feel the cells of your mortal body being quickened by this. And so then the minister is there, and God is speaking to you. And God is before you as not the minister, but Christ within him speaking to you. Let all the world keep silent, for God is within his temple. And then on the other hand, we are as the body of Christ, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and members in particular. So then we are also, as the Bible has said, in Christ's stead. While Christ Jesus is gone as to his human body, we are thus in his stead beseeching the world to be reconciled back to God. For as it was said of Jesus when his body was here, to wit that God that is without measure as to the heavenly Father was in Jesus reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but because of love he took away their wrongs. So we say that we should submit ourselves then unto the ministry as they that watch for our soul. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, because this higher power that's called the ministry is ordained of God. And he is set there not as in vain. He is not set there to hurt you as a saint of God. He is set there that you be praised for what you're doing, and to love you as a mother would her child, and praise the little one when it does some good thing, you know, and they clap their hand for him, you know, like that. See, Paul said, "In a good thing I praise you." But on the other hand, he is set there, the Bible says, that if you do evil, if you don't honor him, if you don't obey what he tells you, then be afraid. The Bible said be afraid, because it says that he's got the sword of God. And he beareth it not in vain. He doesn't just take it around with him just to keep the sowet, but he beareth it not in vain. For he is God's revenger, and he is set there for a purpose of God, is to the command of God to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Will ye then not be afraid, seeing that he has your life and soul within your hand? As Peter, when he said to Ananias and Sapphira, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost and spoke to them and they were dead? As Paul, as the others, when they spoke to different ones, as they were saying, you're in the gall of bitterness, the bonds of iniquity, your heart is not right with God. Pray that God will forgive you for the thoughts of your heart, thinking that you could buy the gift of God or purchase the gift of God with money. And as it was, when they spoke there, said, and ye shall be blind for a season, and they become blind. Or they said, ye shall be healed, and they were healed. Or it was said, ye shall be dead, and they were dead, and they were gone. See, as the man came, he lied. Peter spoke an eternal doom, as to the Bible said, leaving the foundation of repentance, going on, the Bible said, to these things of perfection, to eternal judgment. And there he spoke eternal judgment, and they were gone, the man and then the woman. So see, it said, then be subject to the ministry as to the high powers. I know that the Jim Jones things is all around. I know that, and I know there's preachers everywhere that's on TV, and they're preaching, and they're taking the word. And the Bible said that many of them are ministers of Lucifer that's transformed their minds. The Bible said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, coming out of the old mind of sin into the mind of life and righteousness. But these men are Bible scholars. They go to college. They study. They learn. They're ordained by movements. And they're men that's on television and radio and everywhere else. But the Bible said, having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. And while they promise liberty to others, they themselves are the servants that of sin and corruption. For whatever overcomes you, as to whatever you are subjected to, then are ye the servants. As to bondage to the carnal mind, as a bond child, or as under Christ, the mind of Christ as under life, that ye are the subject as under that, as to whatever a man's overcome by. So the Bible said not to let sin reign in your mortal body, to fulfill the lust thereof. See, but submit yourselves as unto the minister, as unto what he says, to give the more in his teed to the things you've heard. See, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He doesn't want to do anything that would harm you. He doesn't want to say anything that would harm you, because he hath God on the inside, and God is love. See, and he would not do anything against you whatsoever. But if you do wrong, then your loved ones are gone. You're gone. Something happened. The first news you know, your prosperity is gone. First news you know, you are in prison. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee to the judge. The judge brings a sentence to deliver thee to the jailer. And the jailer then casts you into prison, locks the door, and you'll not come out till you paid the uttermost farthing. That is, some of you have pressures of mind you can't get loose from. All day long, demons torment you, and you can't get loose from that demon of lust. It tortures you, and it'll keep on till it makes you fall and sink into the flames of hell. It'll never turn you loose. Having eyes full of adultery, you cannot cease from sin. And then there are gossiping spirits that, though you swear that you'll never gossip again, you just have to get the thing that's hot off of the line, as we say, to get it to the people to gossip. That is, either to lust with your eyes, though you be very religious, it's still lust. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Whether you lust after the individual, or whether you lust after the things of the world as cars and homes, whether you lust after pride or prestige from your heart, whether you make excuses as to gossip, to backbite, to be evil, to be wretched, to be temperamental, or to fellowship with them that are without, that you know is not straight. There's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together, and the Bible said two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. And when a brother is in error, when God commands that all of you withdraw from him, even if he's a brother, to withdraw from him, that he might be ashamed. And you go out and violate that, you're in violation of what the minister told you. Something will happen to you. It might be a day, it might be a week, it might be a month, but it will happen to you. It's like a little thought the Lord gave me as to a song. You can't go back and change the race that you have run. You can't go back and change the deeds that you have done. It doesn't matter, beloved friend, no matter how hard you may try, you can't do wrong and get by. There's no way. You can't do it. See, it doesn't matter if it's 5 years or 10 years, whatever it is, every seed that you sow is going to come up. Every thought that you've thought, you're going to have to deal with it and reckon with it. And everything that's ever happened in your life as to what you thought when you looked at an individual, or what you said when you spoke to an individual, or the places that you let your mind take you to, whatever it is, you're going to answer to God for it. Every evil deed that you've ever done, even as I say, our gospel judging the very secrets of your heart. And when you go out with these brethren, or especially with one that's not a brother, that's been among us, that's been a religious person, and you go with them, it is because you're of the devil. It's very easy to see that you're of the devil, and you will trouble the minister. When you are sitting in his presence in the church, you'll always be a trouble to him, because your mind will be set in its way as to your self will. And he'll feel that. It won't be tender. It won't be sweet. It won't be submissive. Though you may make yourself submissive to the extent that you listen and you look and you try not to let anything go wrong, but your spirit is in rebellion as to witchcraft and idolatry. And you are in rebellion against him, and you are not subject to him as to the Spirit of God on the inside of him, nor following his leadership, only to the extent that you are taking his word, and whatever his word is, you are taking that to wrestle with it and move it around in your own mind to make it say and do what you want to as to a self-advantage, or as to saying, I work out my own religion and salvation, which of course causes you to crash up because you're misinterpreting the scriptures and you're willfully going into a transgression in the Bible, so there's no repentance for you. Only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour the adversaries. So then the Bible says that we should honor him as the minister of God. It's like the sheriff, I say so often, he's no more than you are, he's just a man. I'm no more than you are as a minister, I'm just a man. As Daniel said when he got those great wonderful things from God, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, it's not given to me because I'm no more than any other mortal on the earth. I'm no more, he said, I'm just a mortal just like you are. And this wisdom wasn't given to me for that reason, but it's for your cause that ye should know this, and that is to save the life of those wise men that he was about to kill. See, and so it was, but Nebuchadnezzar could see far enough that he made Daniel his god and called him after the name of his god as the Belteshazzar. And he fell down before Daniel, because he knew that that was God. He didn't understand God as you and I. He thought there was many gods. He said, the gods are in you, Daniel. And he said, no wise man done this. None of my astrologers, all of these, they couldn't do this. And he feared Daniel. He feared Daniel, and he made Daniel the third ruler in the kingdom. That is as to Belteshazzar. So then I say this, that when we see the ministry, understand the ministry, whatever measure it is of God speaking to you from the ministry or from a brother or sister, one to another, as to the edification. See, it is not the individual. It is not the individual. But Nebuchadnezzar knew that he had all kind of religious folks in his day. And he knew there's something different about Daniel. Whereas the Bible said, he that God doth choose will be holy. And he knew there was something different, and indeed there was. Because where do you read as the angel coming and looking at Daniel, or another as we say? Here he said, O thou beloved man of God. When he looked at Daniel, Daniel was but a man, but he said, Daniel, thou art a beloved man of God. And so then it was true. There was something there. And even as Mary, as to the divine conception and Jesus coming into the world, the angel said unto her, Hail Mary, Thou art highly favored among women. And this thing, see, God is looking for individuals to give his favor to. For the Bible says that God's eyes are throughout the earth, going to and fro, looking for the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in their behalf. So, brethren, sisters, let me tell you something this morning, looking for a place to close, because we could go on and on. Let me tell you something. There isn't going to be any lucky days. If there was such a thing as luck, I've told my wife a lot of times, all of mine was bad. There isn't going to be any lucky days. There isn't going to be any things such as you're going to get older because you stayed here longer and things is going to change and all of a sudden you're going to become something great just because you spent a few more days waiting. There isn't going to be anything like that. And there isn't going to be any respect of person as with God to look upon me or you or anyone else and say, well, I favor him because he's Brother Pike, or I favor him because he's Brother Taylor, or Sister Linda because she's Sister Linda, or Sister Betty because she's Sister Betty. There won't be any days like that, neither with you nor with us. But it'll be one thing. You draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. He's told you of himself, showed you the way, give you the power of God and Spirit to your life so that you can draw nigh to him. See, and you draw nigh to God and he will bless you. And you try to walk upright and he will bless you. You try to think upon him and be more like him and he will bless you. You try to be loving and tender and gentle and not fight back when people fight with you. And the Bible says, as it was with Jesus, that he reviled not again when he was reviled. And let there be no repercussion out of you. Let vengeance be the Lord's. When you do all of these things as to being gentle and sweet and kind and humble and patient and not fighting back and not having an old dirty mind and not being gullible after the flesh and the things of the world, not fighting and warring with one another, not trying to find fault with your neighbor and whatever, not coveting that which is your neighbor. When you start doing this, his eyes will turn towards you. For his eyes are going to and fro through the earth looking for the upright in heart. To get to be a celebrity, to get to be in a position, to get comforts and convenience and securities, to find your place in life as the praise of men, it's not going to benefit you anything. But the Bible said, how can you have honor of God when you seek honor one of another as to a diplomacy of life? How can you do that? You don't have any honor of God. Your prestige means nothing to God. As a matter of fact, usually when you're in that position, you're a lot less than anybody else because you put yourself in a place of the mire. Even the rich, when you've got more money, you're not better than anybody else. For the Bible said, the rich answereth haughty. And the Bible said, a haughty spirit goeth just before fall. When you're wealthy, then you're haughty. You want to rule over others and you want to look at them and disdain them, and you just got a feeling, you know, because you're pulling the strings, as we say. And when you've got a lot of education, a lot of know-how, you're not better than anybody else. The Bible said, knowledge puffeth up. So you're just puffed up, vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind. But when you've got charity, it's the bond of perfection. It's the edification. It thinketh no evil. It behaveth not itself unseemingly. It seeketh not its own, but another's wealth. And it looketh not upon its own as to what it is, but as to another, esteeming others to be better than itself. It's long-suffering, it's patience, it's kind, it's gentle, it vaunteth not. It is not puffed up. It thinketh no evil. Let's stand together. Appreciate you being here this morning. And if you're here and I didn't acknowledge you, it's not because I don't love and appreciate you. We thank God for you. You're my children. I love you. And I trust that all of these that have drifted off will come back in and repent of their sins and serve the Lord, because that's what we prayed for. That's what we asked for. We still pray for them. Though they're not here, we pray for them just like we pray for you. And we ask the Lord to help them just like we ask God to help you. But though we pray for people throughout the world, yet, you know, it's up to them as to what they do. And though we desire to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, thus far we've been able to do only what we can. Paul said, as much as lieth within us, we've tried to preach the gospel to every creature. Still trying in the building of buildings, in the presses rolling, in the printing of literature, in the sound system that's going over like in places over in Lebanon, as to that will reach the Jews, as far as I know, as to the TV that has gone out into the islands and the different places from whence we get mail. And even as Brother Bill was telling me that down in Texas, somebody there at one of the stations in Texas, a 50,000-watt station, has gotten a hold of our ministry, as many, many radio stations have around the nation and the world, that's asked for our program, and they're asking for our program on this 50,000-watt station somewhere in Texas. But nevertheless, doing what we can, I would love to go on all of those stations, and we've been on many, many stations at one time, television and radio alike, in many different states. But I only can do what I can do, and I am what I am by the grace of God. I could act otherwise, but I'd never be any more. For whatever He's made me, that's what I am. And I want to develop every potential of whatever He has made me, as in Christ Jesus, to give Him the benefits of my life, not to seek to save it for my own self, that I might save it unto eternal life. But I'd love to be on the stations. I'd love to reach more souls. And had you stood more steadfastly with me, had you had more concern as to see that the gospel went out and that you bid something Godspeed your partakers, then we would be on the other stations still, and we would still be going on other stations. But nevertheless, it's like Brother Ron was saying the other day, Brother Ron Clyde, he was speaking of this thing as to how that it was a torture unto him to see ministry spread out and other people receive so much money, whereas they plead for that and they pull on TV, radio, and all those kind of things, and see what he believed in as this ministry, people not standing behind it, the MOA. But we do not plead the cause as to television and radio and these kind of things, as to ask for offerings and offer gifts and all kind of sellings as to our literature and song sheets and whatever. We don't do that. So we just wait for God to do it. For the Bible said, "He that exalteth himself shall be abased." And you know how those ministers are toppling. And though they reach to be great things, they topple and they become a reproach to God. But the Bible said, "He that doeth these things that God has pointed out, he shall never fall." And we're seeking to do those things as to one testimony before God, and that is to do always the things that please God. For Jesus said, "I do always the things that please the Father." And before Enoch's translation, his testimony was that he pleased God. And the Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you cannot have faith unless you do the things as pertaining to the heart, to assure the heart. When you do the things that please God, then you receive the Holy Ghost, for he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him or pleases him. And with this, the Bible said, you assure the heart. And then the heart takes confidence because we do the things that please him, though we stumble. A heart takes confidence. And then when we have this confidence toward God, we know that God heareth us. And if we know that God heareth us, we know that we have the petition that's given to us in God. For it's already given to us before we ever get our conscience right. It was given to us even while we were yet in our sins. Sin is already there as all things that pertain unto life. Already given to us. And God is pressing to get to us like the water behind the dam. But we have to break the dam of unbelief and let the water flow freely. So then once we get the dam broken as to a confidence in God that he heareth us, we automatically get what we want, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And if he hears us, then we know that we have pleased God, and we know that all things that he hath is now ours, because they've already been given to us in Christ. Even before we call, it shall come to pass that he shall answer, and he did before we was ever born into the world. So then we enjoy the wonderful things of God. We just go about rejoicing and praising him for all these things that are given to us in Christ Jesus. Not being, as the Bible said, of a doubtful mind, but as Abraham, not staggering at the promises of God, but being fully persuaded in our heart that what God has promised, he's able also to perform. So let's sing a little chorus together. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in.
Lord Jesus, just coming today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Can you sing it with me?
So come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in. Stay, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
You know, standing up here, the Spirit of God starts moving, and of course, your thoughts begin to stand out, and we pick up your thoughts, and some thoughts are so directly motivated as an incentive toward us. And then occasionally I run across a mind where it's not. It's submitted as to the body. It's submitted as far as being religious. It's submitted as far as not wanting us to find fault with them because they want the blessing. But their mind is still elusive because their spirit is not submitted to God Almighty, and as soon as they go out, they'll go back to their own way of life, taking the body into captivity to do whatever it wants, you know, as to the lust of the flesh. But then I find those that are the beloved children of God, and their spirits are so submitted to the Spirit of God, and their mind is not elusive, is wandering and trying to figure anything out, or is in and find fault, or in rebellion, is not being submitted. See, but it is very tender, it's very submissive. And this I marvel at, because some of my finest people here never been born again, and they've been with me for years, and they're very intellectually indoctrinated as to the word and would fire off quicker than anybody else. But they've never given their spirit to Christ in my heart. Never come one of my children, and they cannot make the translation. For the translation is, for God hath, even as of now, your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, even as of now, for God hath already translated you as to your spiritual interbeing into the marvelous Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, which is within you. Even the kingdom of God that is within you, that cometh not by observation as to the intellectual reasoning. So then, it makes it very thoughtful, and yet it's very amusing as I behold and I see these things. And then while I muse over these things as to what would be a besetting thing to me, I suddenly pick up the spirits of those others that are my children, that are submitted to God, that are submitted as their spirit, and that God is a spirit, and we worship that spirit with our spirit, in spirit and in truth. And that submission of spirit, I pick it up. And it is so beautiful. I pick it up even out of my little children, out of my little boys, and out of my little girls. I pick it up. And they will be so engrossed in their little spirit, in this thing about eternal life and about Jesus. And they want so bad to have the Lord Jesus in their heart and have that love and be one with Him. And I think this is so wonderful. This is so marvelous. Out of the mouth of Buck Sucklings, God hath perfected praise. And I see these little ones, and I think, Jesus said, such is the kingdom of heaven. Their little body still hasn't committed the great transgression in that they have never yet come to the full knowledge of sin, to know to do good and do it not. To them it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Though they do things, they commit things of error, but not being developed, it is not charged against them. And the Bible said their little spirits are still in heaven, as in the presence of our Heavenly Father, and said to you and I, lest you become as this little child. That is to say, as to your spirit being translated into the spirit of Christ, and that spirit being in heaven, you'll not have heaven, nor can you enter into heaven until you have this innocency of heart. So then, being born again, we are a little child. Being born again. For when you're born, you are a little child. And we're God's little child. Can we sing that chorus together? The altars are open. I'm born again, free from sin, and I'm happy night and day. Oh, it makes me shout, for there is no doubt. Oh, I know that I've been born again. Can you sing that with me? Born again. Oh, I'm free from sin. I'm happy night and day. Oh, it makes me shout. There is no doubt, for I know I've been born. Sing it again with me. Oh, friend, we're born again, free from sin, and we're happy night and day. For it makes me shout, and there is no doubt, for I know I've been born again. For I'm from sin, and I'm happy night and day. Oh, it makes me shout, and there is no doubt. Oh, I know that I've been born. Can you sing that with me? We've been born again, free from sin. Oh, I'm happy night and day. For it makes me shout, and there is no doubt, for I know I've been born again. For I'm born again, and I'm free from sin, and I'm happy night and day. And it makes me to shout, there is no doubt, for I know. Sing that with me. You've really been born again. Sing it. I've been born again, free from sin, and I'm happy. Remember now, not going to try to hold on to the end and be saved. Not going to try to believe our way in. Already happened before the world was, before knowledge, and now it's brought to us. Already happened. We've been born again. Already happened. I'm already born again. When a little one's born into the world, he can't be born out, can he? Somebody said, but he can die out, not out of this life. Oh, I'm free from sin. Oh, I know I'm born again. I am born with eternal life, free from sin, already passed from death into life. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And it makes me shout, there is no doubt, for I know I've already born again. Sing it again. And we're born again, children of God. If we're children, then heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Now I'm rejoicing.
Boy, it means a whole lot to be born again, don't it? It is peeps on meaning things. Mean you're going to live forever, be young forever, never die. Even in this world, sickness and poverty is gone, if you can believe it. Born again, free from sin, oh, I'm happy night. Said he'd give you the desires of your heart. What if you do will prosper, make you rich and have no sorrow. One more time. For I'm born
again,
free from sin. Oh, I'm happy. For it makes me shout, and there is no doubt. Oh, I know that I'm born. Can you sing one more time? For I'm born again, free from sin, and I'm happy. I remember now, rebellion is a sin, is a witchcraft. Stubbornness is out of idolatry. You try to hinder the preacher, you're in trouble. I can tell when you're doing it. Love God, walk with the preacher, it'll be well with you. Born again, free from sin, I'm happy night and day. Oh, let your spirit go out to God. Let your spirit go out to God. You'll give Him your spirit. You won't be rebelling in your body and your mind all the time. There's no rebellion against God in Christ. For I'm born again, free from sin. Oh, I'm happy night and day. For it makes me shout, there is no doubt, for I know that I've been born. Let's lift our hands up and give Him a wave offering. I've been born again, free from sin, and I'm happy night and day. Oh, it makes me shout, there is no doubt, for I know that I've been born. Just one more time together and we'll let you go. For I'm born again, free from sin. Don't you feel that liberty? Don't you feel that love? Don't you feel that strength? Don't you feel that faith? Don't you feel that assurance? Ain't you glad you're eternal? Ain't you glad you're happy? Serving God is joy, isn't it joy? Don't you feel that joy? I can tell you're happy. I feel it coming up here at me. Oh, I'm born. I'm going to let you go. Free from sin, I'm happy night and day. Makes me shout, oh, there is no doubt, for I know that I've been born. Can you sing it just one more time, Brother Taylor? We are born again, free from sin, and I'm happy night. For it makes me shout, there is no doubt, for I've been born. Can you one more time? I've been born
again.
Come on, folks, worship God. Can you turn loose that spirit? Let it go out to the Holy Spirit. Don't be intellectually standing there reasoning and thinking. Don't lean to your own thoughts. Forget about them thoughts once and for all. Let the Holy Ghost come into your heart. He wants to come in. It's a gift. So I'm born
again,
free from sin, and I'm happy night and day. For it makes me shout, and there is no doubt, for I know. One more time. So I'm born again, free from sin, I'm happy night and day, and it makes me shout, Bethlehemites are happy. Did you know that? True Bethlehemites are happy. The home of the soul. Let's hurl it around the world. Born again, free from sin. Can you hurl it around the world with me? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Me shout and there is no doubt. All I know that I've been born. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes. Can you be subject to the high powers? Subjecting your soul even unto God and following me as I follow Christ, that we can be one as it was on the day of Pentecost, as it is with Israel when a nation shall be born in one day when that rabbi says worship God. Can you bring that body into subjection? That's what happens to the body all in one day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Can you bring it to that? Can you worship the Lord submitting to His Spirit? Great and mighty things is laying ahead for them that worship God. And the Bible said in the last days, they that know their God shall do great and mighty exploits. Now's your opportunity. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days draw not nigh, when you'll start reaping what you've sowed as to the bad things and say, I have no pleasure in them. Let's worship God. Let's love God. While we've got our hands up, can we close our eyes together? His blood has washed away every stain. Once again, I will pray. Thank you. I'm going to ask Tony to come up and dismiss us. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory.